scripture reading is two verses from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Let us all listen to God speak to us through His Word. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 announces the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the nature of his anticipated ministry. It spells out his anticipated ministry in four great names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now the verse is a birth announcement, but it is different than any other birth announcement ever given by any parent in the history of this world. This is a birth announcement before the child was born. And to make it more specific, 800 years before the child was born and the son was given. We received many birth announcements throughout the years. And if you pay attention to them, you know their styles are different, and their words are different, and sometimes they're very late. But I have never received a birth announcement before a child was born. So what we have in these two verses is God the Father's announcement of the birth of his son and what his ministry would be in terms of the gifts he gives us that meet specific needs in our life. Wonderful Counselor provides the beauty of wisdom. Mighty God provides power because we're powerless to know God. Everlasting Father is God's announcement that his son would be all that God the Father is, and that Jesus brings us a place of belonging. We are adopted into God's family through Christ. And Prince of Peace meets our need for peace with God and peace in the midst of the trials of life and eventual peace in this world. If you notice, look at verse 9, it also tells us the dual natures of Christ. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Jesus was not born as a son. He always was the eternal Son of God. And he took to him human flesh so that through his life and death and resurrection, we might become sons of God. There never was a time when Jesus was not as the eternal Son. But when it says he would be a child, born as a child, it's a way of describing the humiliation of Jesus Christ out of love for us, by which the eternal Son assumed human nature so that he could pay the infinite penalty for our sin on the cross Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
In exact language, the Holy Spirit describes the dual natures of Christ, fully God and fully man, 800 years approximately before he is born. The first name here is Wonderful Counselor. The best translation is it is a combination of both. Because wonderful is a parallel with counselor. And it describes Jesus Christ as the one in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is beautiful. Wonderful Counselor. Think of Jesus Christ being beautiful because of who he is and what he has come to do. He is infinite mightiness. He is the one through whom this entire universe was made. And he is the one who holds it together. He is flawless and he is perfect in all of his ways. But he also enmeshed himself in our condition because he became perfect human being through the virgin birth, done by the Holy Spirit. So that Jesus Christ has been through all the darkness you have ever been in ahead of time. And he's gone through it all perfectly. And he is beautiful because he has infinite resources to comfort you. Because he's been through all the suffering you have. Have you been rejected? So is he. Have you been facing death? So is he. Have you been betrayed? So is he. Have you been weary and tired? So is he. And therefore, he is the most beautiful, perfect counselor. Because in this life, you can have people who counsel you, but they may be overcome by what you share. And so they're not able to speak the truth into your life. They can comfort you, they can love you in the sense of sympathizing, but they won't speak the truth into your life to really help you through it. But then you have other people who will tell you the truth, but unsympathetically. But Jesus combines both perfectly. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
He is a wonderful, beautiful counselor. Amen. He combines all of the infinite resources of being God and therefore having suffered in every way you have and more than we have, infinitely so. And therefore, he is able to help you. So rely on him. Trust in him. Because he alone can provide you with perfect comfort and perfect grounding through all the sufferings of life. Now, how about wisdom? Well, we have a great need in that area, do we not? I know I do. You know, it is possible to know a whole lot about many things in life, to be well educated, and yet to lack a true knowledge and wisdom about the most important things in life. There are all kinds of very intelligent, educated people. Who cannot tell you why they exist. Who do not know why they exist, truly. Who have a false idea of why they exist. They exist for themselves.
Or there are all kinds of educated people, and I'm not speaking against education, I'm speaking against education without God at the center of life, who don't know why they have been given the gifts and abilities they have to serve God. Who don't know the goal of history, the coming of Christ. Who do not think there's anything beyond themselves or greater than themselves. But it is in Jesus Christ that we receive the gift of true wisdom, because God has revealed himself in his word, the Bible. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we find out in life, who is God? Who is God? It's in Jesus Christ that we understand who God is. In John 14:9, Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you want to know who God is, and you don't understand, I would encourage you and challenge you, read the Gospel of John. And you will see in the life of Jesus Christ who God is. God is like Jesus Christ. Or how about yourself? It is in Jesus Christ that we learn who we are. And what we learn is that we're sinners. What we learn is that we struggle with sin. What we learn is that we're alienated from God because of sin. And the more we come to know Jesus Christ, the more we realize how perfectly holy he is and how much we are unholy and how much we struggle with sin.
Amen.
But at the same time, and in spite of our sin, the Word of God teaches us that God loves us so much and God values us so much that the beautiful Son of God became a criminal on the cross, because God loved you so much in me and valued us so much that he gave his Son for our salvation. It's in Jesus Christ that we understand our purpose. Why are we here? Jesus said, come follow me. We're here to follow Jesus. We're here to serve Jesus. We're here to be fishers of men. In other words, God has called us, if you're a believer, to spread out wherever you are, the gospel is. And therefore, we are to be witnesses. God hasn't left that up to angels. He's left it up to those who follow him to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit to witness to others. And what is more, God has said that there are those who will believe in Christ through the seeds we plant. And yes, there are those who will not believe, but we've planted the seed and we trust God in time to save people. You plant the seed and you pray. If you're in the hospital, you're a witness. If you're in the office, you're a witness. If you're in a car, you're a witness. We are to be witnesses for Christ. And then finally, wisdom. When Jesus was on earth, he was a wonderful counselor. But when he left to go to heaven, he said he would send another wonderful counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into truth. There are times we are perplexed. We don't know what to do. But when we go to God and ask for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, he's promised, if you lack wisdom, I will give it to you. So that's wisdom. What about power? Mighty God. Clear statement of Jesus' divinity. He is fully God. You know, power is really not as hard a thing for us to understand, because so many people are into power.
They want power. Oftentimes we think of people in the business world high up as having power. Although when they get into that position, they realize they have a lot less power than people looking at them from the outside think. But we often think of power as being high in the organizational chart. Or if you have money, you have power. You can control circumstances. Actually, you can't. You can control some circumstances. But you can't keep suffering from your life. You can't keep death. Or you think of power in terms of elected officials. If we can get people elected, then they'll have power. And our culture thinks if we could get people to represent minorities and masses and people groups, and we organize them and get the right people, get them the right representative, then they'll have power. But the fact of the matter is that in a culture that thinks so much of power, we're more conscious than we've ever been that we don't have it. Think of Election Day. How many people who could actually vote wind up voting? About 40% at the most. Why? Because they feel their vote makes no difference. And that's why they don't vote. I'm not significant. My vote can't change things. I can't change things. I can't determine my destiny, therefore I don't vote. This is where Jesus, as the mighty God, truly gives a timely word for us. Because Jesus is the mighty God. And the fact that he is the mighty God shows us that God entered into this world because he himself came for the sake of those whom God set his love on in eternity past. A vast, numberless group of people who are precious to God, of every race, of every tribe, of every nation, whom he has chosen. And Jesus Christ came into this world as the mighty God in order to bring us into reconciliation with Jesus, with God the Father, through his saving death. God demonstrated his power for you in the death of Jesus Christ for you. Why would Jesus have come into this world if God didn't care about you? Why would God do all that suffering, all that temptation that he overcame perfectly, if God did not intend to demonstrate his power by saving you from your sin, raising his son gloriously from the dead for your eternal life? That shows that God is on your side. As he says in Romans 8:32, he who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God shows he is the mighty God by saying, I have given my son for you, the most precious gift in the universe. I delivered him up in love for you. And in love, I will take all of your circumstances and mold them and shape you to be more like my son, so you can make a difference in the lives of others. We've been given the Holy Spirit. Who is who? Jesus Christ, Almighty God in us. So that we are able to be a witness for Christ by
by the way we display the love of Christ to the person next to us, to the person God brings into our life today or tomorrow. The power of God enables us to obey God. Do you know the power of God makes Jesus beautiful to us because we want, so that we want to obey Him. The power of God is such that when all other lights go out in your life, Jesus' light shines brighter. The power of God is the Holy Spirit in us, humbling us so that we want to be witnesses for Christ. He enables us to make a difference. We need to get our eyes off of the little anxieties in our life that clog up our vision, to see that we are able, by the Holy Spirit, to make a difference in the lives of others by living for the one who died for us. The early church knew that without Jesus Christ, without the power of the gospel being spread out, how grim this world would be. But Jesus had come and died and risen again. And so they spread out to share that life and love of Christ. One practical way to do this is be kind to every cashier this Christmas. Make a difference by the way you treat people. Okay, third, belonging. Jesus is the everlasting Father. Now that statement is not meant to blur the distinction in the body. Jesus has always been, will always be. He's God the Son. And He came to do the Father's will. God the Father planned salvation, chooses His people, and God the Son came into this world to make that salvation secure. And God the Holy Spirit applies that salvation in our hearts, taking out our heart of stone and quickening us to have a heart of flesh of love for the Lord. But we read, He is everlasting Father. Isn't that amazing that when God announces the coming of His Son into the world, He calls Him everlasting Father. God the Father calls God the Son everlasting Father. It doesn't blur the distinction in the Godhead. God is saying this: all that I am, my Son is. But when we think of God's gifts to us, what this really is saying is, we belong. We belong to God. By the perfect life of Jesus, by His death on the cross, we become sons and daughters of Almighty God by resting in Him alone, in Jesus. God makes us His children, so that God, we are no longer alienated from God. We are close to God, and our identity is in God. We are His children. Today, either you're a child of God, or you're separated from God, and you're a child of the evil one. There's only two places. If you've trusted in Jesus, you're a child of God forever. If you haven't, you're headed towards an eternity without God. And I plead to you, trust Christ by repenting of your sin, for then you will be translated forever as a child of the evil one to a child of God. What a privilege. We can come to God at any time, any place, and we can say, oh God, I am so discouraged. I am so disheartened. I don't even feel I can get up and get going again. And I ask you, Father, renew your strength in me by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage me. And if we cry out to God, He is close to the brokenhearted, and He will encourage you. We can share our defeats with God. God, I'm so defeated. I have lost this battle. And I don't feel I can get up and get going anymore. And the God of resurrections will give you new life and renew you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He even used defeat to humble us, to make us more dependent on the Lord. One defeat is not final defeat. And if we entrust our defeats to God, He will use them to renew in us new courage to serve Him. And then last, Prince of Peace. So what we've seen, Wonderful Counselor, the gift of wisdom. We've seen Mighty God, the gift of power in God to make a difference for Him in this life. And we've seen Everlasting Father, we belong to God as His sons and daughters, peace. And I suppose if we were to ask this question and poll people, people would say, perhaps more than any other need, this is the greatest of needs, because we live in a restless world. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, Lord, and we will find no rest until we rest in you." Apart from Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life, we are not at peace with God, because we are fighting God, because we want our own way and not God's way. And there will never be peace if we are fighting Almighty God. But we're also in enmity with others. But through Jesus Christ, our enmity with God that is caused because of sin is forgiven, so we can have peace with God. And as a result of having peace with God, we can have the peace of God, which is described in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard. Will be like an army around your heart, protecting you from being overcome by anxiety. Entrust your anxieties to God and you will have peace. And one day when Jesus returns, we are told that there will be perfect restoration of life forever. We will have a perfect body like Christ, and there will be perfect peace in this world. Isn't that something to look forward to?
Yes.
You'll be able to stick your hand in the cobra's den, and nothing will happen. That's what Isaiah 11 says. And little children will lead us in that day. So four great gifts. Wisdom, the power of God, sonship, and peace. These are the greatest gifts anyone could ever have, and they are only found in Christ. And they are for you if you will commit your life to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a great God, the great God. And we pray, Lord, that you would pour out through the Holy Spirit your wisdom, your power, the assurance that we are your sons and daughters, and the security of your peace in us and through us. Lord, we pray that in the midst of the darknesses of our life, that we would remember that you are walking with us through those darknesses. And we pray that in the midst of our struggles with our sin, that you would give us assurance that you have sent your Son to forgive our sin, and that you are making us more and more victorious in him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.